Hey friend, we'll get to the episode in just a minute, but first I have a question for you. Do you know your strengths? I know you want to live a fulfilling life, right? You want to feel like your life is your own and not like you're in the wrong movie acting the wrong part. But do you know your strengths? Are you operating from your strengths at work and in your calling? Or does everything feel hard and like a chore? I know what it feels like to not know where you belong. And for me, discovering my strengths and really taking steps to deploy them effectively has been very crucial to helping me feel more fulfilled and excited about life. If this resonates with you, if you'd like to find out more about your strengths, I have a free gift for you. It's called the Uncover Your Strengths Free Guide. In this guide, you'll find tools, tests, and resources to help you find your strengths. There'll be space in there to write down your discoveries. There'll be reflection questions to help you dig deeper and prayers to help you seek the Lord for wisdom on how to move forward. I hope you lean into this. I hope you not only download this guide, but also use it, grow, and be empowered to pursue your next steps in faith, work, and life. You can get it today at shepact.com/strengths. The link will also be in the show notes. That's shepact.com/strengths. Now let's get to the episode.
I've always been confident in my abilities. However, that has translated very differently across my life. It's one thing to believe that you can do things and to know that you have gifts and abilities. It's another thing though, like the outward display of that. I was great at putting on the face of like, you know, I'm here, I've got it together. Even though in my mind or you know, I could have just been crying like 10 minutes ago. So this is a product and a formula. All of the formulas I invented, I created, I formulated them. And, you know, all of the production still happens in-house.
You're listening to the Driven Introvert Podcast, a faith-inspired space for purposeful introverts who are ready to step out with courage and pursue their big ideas. If you are an introvert who is tired of letting fear dictate what you do and how you do it, then this podcast is for you. I'm here to remind you that the life and work you've dreamed about is possible, and your unique personality is not a limitation to achieving it. I'm your host, Remy Roy, and I'm the co-founder of shepact.com. On this podcast, I'll feature introverts and others with unique perspectives on what it means to follow dreams, passionately build out ideas, and live a life that matters. Expect inspiring conversations, resources, reflections, and stories on faith, life, and work. Welcome to the Driven Introvert Podcast. I'm your host, Remy Roy. In today's episode, I'll be chatting with Latrice Love. She is the founder of Lip Love, a clean beauty brand known for their organic makeup and skincare blends. Latrice is one of those unique people who are both equally left and right-brained. She went from being a fashion and lifestyle blogger to starting her first business as a marketing consultant while in art school. She also went from entry-level to executive in a fast-track corporate career. Latrice has done it all. I'm excited to get into this conversation. We talk about what it means to take big leaps, but not from a place of fear. We talk about why the fake it till you make it mentality isn't healthy, and how to surrender your ambition and let the Lord take the lead. I had such a great time with Latrice, and I know you're going to love this conversation. Let's go. Hi, Latrice. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Remy. I appreciate it.
Oh my God. It's so good to see you. So before we go ahead, Latrice, I wanted to take time to say thank you for your friendship over the years. I mean, we don't see each other that often, but I remember we met at a time when I was trying to figure out my place in corporate America, or even if I had a place in it at all. And that was a difficult time for me. And I don't think that you knew that, but you extended a hand of friendship to me. And I remember you invited me to lunch, and that meant a lot to me. And I think as women, sometimes we underestimate the power of those, you know, simple connections that make us feel seen and whole. And I just wanted to acknowledge that and say thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I 100% agree with you. Like, there's so much power in reaching out. A lot of times, you know, we feel like, oh my goodness, I'm going through this and I'm alone. And so, I don't know, I just really believe in like sisterhood and community and and reaching 100%. Out, you know.
100%. I tell you, it makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. So yeah, thank you for that. So you and I, we've had conversations over the years, and one of them that really stands out to me was when we had lunch. And I was telling you about an idea I was working on at the time, which for some reason didn't really develop legs at all. But you talked about the business you were building, and you had left the company we were both working with at the time to start this business. And I remember wondering how it must feel, you know, the mental space you had to be in at that time to make that decision to leave what was supposedly a safe and secure position, you know, to strike out on your own. And I know a lot of people have this experience, but I guess my first question to you is, how did that feel? It might feel like an obvious question, but I really want to get into your mental space at that time. Did you struggle with it? How hard did you struggle with it to take that decision? Or was it a pretty easy step to take, you know, depending on what your motivations were for starting the business?
Yes, that is actually, even though it sounds like an obvious question, it's actually a really good question, because for me, honestly, I didn't think very hard about it, like from the standpoint
of, oh my God.
I'd been in prayer, you know, for many years, and even prior to working in corporate and like prior to that, I started my first company. And so I've always been like very entrepreneurial, and I'd always prayed even throughout my corporate career, like, Lord, when you tell me it's time to go, then I'm going to go, you know?
I love
it. And so that was always my posture. And, you know, of course there were many times throughout the years and throughout corporate where I felt like, okay, like, I'm ready. Like, where are you, Lord? Tell me what you want me to do. And so honestly, I remember like yesterday, the day I was literally like laid out in my living room, pray in prayer and in worship, and just receive that confirmation, like, hey, it's time for you to go. It's time to move. And so I didn't even think on it very long from the standpoint of, I knew it was an act of obedience. I knew it was a huge leap of faith. And, you know, I told my husband about it, and he's like, okay, you know, like, if the Lord says move, then you know, we got to move. So I didn't really think about it, you know, prior to actually resigning and going through that process. Like, I didn't think about it from the extent of, oh my goodness, like, I'm starting this thing and I'm on my own, because I felt and I believe truly, like, this is my faith activating in this moment for me to move. And on top of that, it was never really about me. Like, from the standpoint of my career, I've never looked at my career like, oh, I'm trying to, you know, be this person or achieve these things. It's always been like, Lord, where do you want me to go? That's where I'm going to be at. Like, I want to be where the Holy Spirit is. I want to be in the place of blessing and anointing. Yes. I don't want to be out of order. And so, that was really my thought process. But after it happened, and then I was, you know, in the transition in corporate, and, you know, pretty much right away, like, I mean, I had a very comfortable salary and position, and pretty much right away, you know, I didn't have that cushion anymore. Then I was like, oh, because I didn't really go into it. We didn't have, you know, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, we have years of savings and like all these emergency things in place. Like, there was no... It was just like, Lord, you said, do it. I'm doing it. We're here. Like, I'm in the middle of the ocean, like, you know? Oh, wow. And so I think after the fact, I had a little bit more kind of like, oh my goodness, like, what's going on?
Moments of realization for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I try not to dwell in that place. Even now, I mean, I still have moments 5+ years later. Mm-hmm. I still have moments of like, okay, you know, like, how is this all gonna add up? Yes. But I try not to dwell in that place, you know. I try to stay rooted in that place of faith and obedience, as opposed to fear and uncertainty. So
hi, friend. Are you enjoying the podcast? May I ask you a favor? Please take a moment to leave a review of the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Reviews are very important and help other people find the Driven Introvert podcast. I'd really appreciate if you could rate the show and also leave a written review. You can review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate it. Now back to the podcast.
Oh, I love that answer. And it makes me think about really the practice of our faith and how we hear God and take steps. Because I think for me, I love the fact that you mentioned it's been something on your mind for years and you've just been praying and praying. And then when you felt like the Lord said, it's time to go, now you're ready to go, you know, and I have a similar experience with some of the things that I've, you know, dreamed about and prayed about that I wanted to do. And it's funny because sometimes, you know, how people hear God in different ways, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe some people feel like, maybe they hear like a direct word and it's so clear. Mm-hmm. It isn't always that way for me. Sometimes it's just thoughts, nudges, mm-hmm. impressions that are on my mind for years. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I just feel, you know, like I want to do this. And I had a similar experience with, okay, this is the time to go do it. And I love that. I love that really deliberate practice of our faith, because we cannot divest our faith from the things we do, from our work, from our businesses, mm-hmm. you know, from our dreams and ideas. It's all God ideas. So I absolutely love that. So now you tell me that you didn't think too much about it before you took that step, and then you took the step and now it's like, oh, you're realizing, you know, there's a lot, you know, you have to do and overcome and all that. And that I'm sure a lot of people can, you know, feel that, you know, like the space where you were in at that time. But my question to you is, I know that you try not to think too much about being in the place of like fear and uncertainty, and you lean into your faith. But did you have a roadmap for, say, in your head, how long it might take you to succeed? And I say, when I say succeed, I mean, whatever your metrics, you know, for success was, like, did you have like a timing in your head? You know, those statistics that say a lot of businesses fail, you know, at this time or after 10 years, after 5 years and all that. Did you have a thought in your mind, not from a place of fear, but from a place of, okay, maybe in the next 4 years, I might have achieved this or that. Did you have a kind of roadmap like that?
I did. It quickly got thrown out of the window, but I did. In the very beginning, I did. And, you know, I believe that entrepreneurship is very much like looking in the mirror, because we are faced a lot of times, and I mean life, you know, in general, but I'll for the sake of this question, I'll tie it into entrepreneurship, where, you know, we're looking in this mirror, and even in the scriptures, how it says, like, you know, do not forget, basically, when you mm-hmm. come face to face with yourself, do not forget what you look like. Mm-hmm. And I believe that entrepreneurship, or really doing any, taking a step of faith in any capacity, is like holding that mirror up, because we're confronted with ourselves and we're confronted mm-hmm. with everything about ourselves. Right. And so mm-hmm. for me, as being a very, ambitious and like driven, yeah. and, absolutely. You know, I really want to accomplish these things mm-hmm. in this time, I had to confront a lot of that and understand what was the root of my ambition, especially in the very early stages. And so I did have a timeline of, like, you know, in the very beginning, which is not the case now, for Lip Love, I wanted to be in major retailers. And that process very quickly, I mean, within 7 months of launching, I was already in talks with major retailers, which, you know, it put things into perspective for me, because I realized I wasn't ready for the level of growth that I was expecting in a short amount of time. And I believe that that is a very powerful thing. And like, how often do we pray about things and ask for things and really seek the Lord about things that we want? But are we in position and are we prepared to receive those things? And so, you know, I had my timeline in the beginning, and then I realized, like, Lord, I'm not ready for this timeline. Like, I just need you to tell me, like, what is the timeline? You know what I'm saying? Because there's so much in the world that tells us to strive and be ambitious toward a certain standard of success. And for me, throughout this journey, I've really had to define success on my own terms. And what I mean by that is biblically and spiritually. You know, what does success look like? And I think that's different for everyone. No one can tell us what that is. And in the very beginning, I was basing these metrics or these aspirations around a very worldly viewpoint. And I can see that now in retrospect, because what the Lord prepared for me has been so much greater than like what I could have even imagined or thought about or even conceived in my mind in the beginning, because I was looking at it from the perspective of, oh, like, this is what these brands are doing, or I saw this person online and, you know, they have this going on, you know? And so I did have those metrics in the beginning. I quickly let them go when I realized, like, number one, I was not prepared. And number two, it took courage to say, hey, I want what you want for me, because I now realize that that's even better than like what I can think about or dream up in my mind. So does that answer your question?
It does. It absolutely does. Because obviously we're talking about roadmaps, right? We always have an idea what we want and how we want it. You know, even if we don't know all of the steps that would take us there, we have the big idea of the things that we want to achieve. And most of these things are influenced by what we see, what someone else has done, what the next business is doing, what the next person is doing. But it doesn't necessarily represent what the Lord wants us to be and how he wants us to show up in the world. And at the end of the day, it's all about giving glory to him. So how do we find ourselves in a space where we're actually, yes, we're ambitious, we're driven, but we're not doing that outside of, you know, God's will for us. And I think it's such a brave thing to actually do, because it takes sacrificing yourself, you know, your own sense of ambition for the greater plan that God has for you. And I love that answer. It's, you absolutely answered it. And for anyone who might be like, oh, I haven't thought about, you know, my business like that, I haven't thought about my life in that light, I hope this encourages you to go to the Word, to go to God and ask him to give you the directions that you need. And like I said before, asking God for these specific directions and waiting for him for the answer, it might be difficult sometimes, because you feel, oh, how do I even hear from God? How do I know? Like, I remember reading a post that somebody posted on Instagram, and she talked about, you'll need to really ask God and let him give you the directions for your business, for your dreams. And somebody said, I've been here asking, I haven't gotten anything. Like, I haven't received any directions. Like, where are you guys getting all these directions from? You know, and it's really about our relationship with God. You know, it will be a process. It will be taking steps and just making sure that we are connected. Sometimes we overthink the spiritual aspect of our everyday lives. We overthink it, like, oh, I'm supposed to be doing this and doing that. No, read your Bible, pray, stay connected, let the Holy Spirit direct you. Just stay connected. Even if you miss it, if you're connected, the Lord will redirect you. It can always use everything, you know, to work together for your good. So I absolutely love that answer. It inspires me even, you know, listening to you. And another point that you mentioned about when you're trying to do anything that requires you to step out, it's like looking at yourself in a mirror. I love that, because before we got on this podcast, I was telling you, starting this podcast has really shown me some of the things that I need to work on. It's really put a mirror to my face to say, oh, this is who I am right now. And I need to grow and evolve and change. And it's going to be a difficult process. You know, I see the things that I'm not doing well. I see the things that I'm not great at. I see the mindset that I even need to adjust to really be where I, you know, want to be and to thrive in God's will for me. And it's a learning process. And I'm glad that you absolutely dug into that. I love that. So let's talk about confidence and competence, because I know you, right? I've known you for a while now. I've worked with you. For those listening, Latrice was essentially my boss. You know, you were a director at the agency where I worked, and I know that you have what it takes to deliver, you know, but have you always been confident in your competence, in your ability to do things, to deliver, to succeed, you know, in the different spaces that you've worked in? And have you always been that way, or did it take you a while to get there?
Thankfully, gratefully, the Lord has always given me this spirit of like, I can do it, you know? And I honestly, I can't say exactly where it comes from other than the Lord, you know, like as long as I can remember, even as a kid, I always felt like I can do it. Like if I can think about it, if I can dream it, then I can do it. Of course, I've had so many people along the way that have spoken life over me. And I believe planted those seeds and nurtured that part of me where, you know, it's very much like, hey, you can do it. And so I've always been very confident in my abilities. However, that has translated very differently across my life. Because, and I think this may be true, for many people possibly listening, where it's one thing to believe that you can do things and to, know that you have gifts and abilities. It's another thing though, like the outward display of that, because, oftentimes I have been the type of person, especially in corporate, where I was great at putting on the face of like, you know, I'm here, I've got it together, even though in my mind, or, you know, I could have just been crying like 10 minutes ago, but I'm here now, you know? And so I do not advocate for that of like, we hear a lot in the world, you know, this fake it till you make it type of thing. I do not advocate for that. I do not think it's healthy. That's just my opinion. And spoken from someone who has learned, or I think in the past, especially when we worked together in corporate, I was like a high functioning, I don't know the right word. Like I was always stressed out, but I was very high functioning. And so if you saw me in meetings, or you saw me, you know, presenting something or doing the training or whatever, you will probably never guess that I was like stressed out, you know, and my home life was like way out of balance. I was not healthy, you know, even though I had the appearance of that. And so although I've always been very confident in my abilities and able to project that confidence, internally, I have not always matched that energy. And so it took me a while, honestly, after corporate, to understand how to really nurture myself, how to be okay on the days when I didn't feel okay, from the standpoint of to recognize that and to be able to lay my burdens down and not just gloss over it. Like, oh, like I'll be fine. I'm just gonna like, you know, and so it's been like a healing process. Like, even though I do consider myself like a very confident person, and you know, I trust that the Lord has given me all ability and that I can do anything that he tells me I can do. It has been a healing process of like not projecting this false image of like, I have it all together all the time, because no one does. And it's like you were saying in the very beginning, it's like you were at a time, when I invited you to lunch, I didn't know that like you were struggling and like just trying to figure things out. And that's what I'm talking about, is that like so much in our society tells us, I think especially as women, like hold it together, be strong, push through, like you need to be stronger than that, you know? And I was raised by a single mom, and I saw her balancing a lot of things. And, you know, so it was just, I think that was even kind of imprinted in me, like, hey, just make it happen. Regardless if you're tired, if you're stressed, if you're overwhelmed, like still just make it happen. And so I'm trying, or I am, by the Lord's grace, like coming out of that sense of like false confidence, you know, and being okay when I'm not okay, and being transparent about that and being open with that, even in my company and the people I work with, like, hey, you know, if you're not having a good day, we need, like, let me know. I'm not going to say, hey, you know, keep going, or hey, we're on this deadline. Like, if you're not here today, or if you're not able to do what you said you would do, just let me know, you know, and we'll get through it. And I'm not going to hold you to a standard of you need to be here 100% every day, because everybody has bad days and everybody has things that they're overcoming, you know, like we're all becoming who we were created to be. And that process is not always this like tightened, put in a bow, pretty and packaged. Like, you know, sometimes we gotta cry. Sometimes, you know, you gotta just lay out before the Lord. And I need to do that all day sometimes, you know. And so I try to just be more fluid as it relates to confidence and competence. And not projecting this false sense of I'm always 100% together, like how I did in corporate.
Oh my God. I love that. I love all of that. The fake it till you make it. I've never been able to do that. Like, it doesn't work for me. I feel like I love the fact that you mentioned that you have always been confident, but the projection of that is where there was some sort of like a imbalance. And I really resonate with that, because I haven't always been confident. And even now I feel like it's in flux and I'm still growing. I'm much better than where I used to be, but the internal struggle, it shows, I feel like most of the time it shows on my face. Like, I haven't been able to do the fake it till you make it thing, because it just shows that I'm stressed. It shows that I'm overthinking things. It shows that I'm struggling, you know? And it's been a journey getting to the point where I have to quiet my mind first. And the more I've learned to quiet my mind, the more I can project the confidence that is slowly developing in me. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in college, we would do, I grew up in Nigeria, by the way, and I studied in Nigeria, and we would do at the end of, you know, your senior year, you know, you would do like a presentation, the big presentation, you know, like a capstone project kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was so stressed, because I knew what I was going to talk about, right? But the idea for me was, everybody's going to be looking at me. I'm going to, you know, stumble on my words. I'm going to say something wrong, or the professors are going to ask me a question and I'm not going to be able to answer. And all of those fears were eating me up, you know. And I remember, and I know 100% it was the Holy Spirit, because I just felt, just practice the thing and don't pay attention to all of the other things that are trying to, you know, get a piece of your mind. The people who are going to be watching you, the follow-up questions and answers you're going to have to give, all of the extra things, don't pay attention to that. Just double down, do the work, know your material, and forget about everything else. And it's funny, I've always practiced that every time now. I just try to focus on that. It's like a constant mental challenge that I have to, you know, deal with. Like, I have to constantly tell myself, don't think about this. And sometimes we feel like we're not able to take control of that, our minds in that way. It is not true. You can. Mm-hmm. There's this, I don't know if it's like a saying or something, that you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can absolutely stop it from, what's the word, pooping on your head? Like, if it's gonna pop, like, you can move your head and
you can move.
Like, it doesn't have to do that on you. And I'm like, okay, so all of these words are like the birds flying over my head. I'm not gonna receive that extra whatever is coming now. I'm just gonna shift, you know? So I'm like, yes, I can do that. I can figure that out. And that's like a mental challenge that I've always kind of worked, and it's helped me. That's actually one of the things that helped me be able to project the confidence that I'm beginning to develop, because it's not always easy. And I know that people will be in different places, right? Their experience might be, oh, I have never been confident, or maybe I've always faked it, you know, or whatever it is, you know, wherever they fall on that spectrum. I feel like there's always a way to overcome that if you just allow God to give you the wisdom on how to, you know, deal with your life. So I definitely love that. Thank you so much for that answer. It's very insightful. So let's talk about 15-year-old Latrice. Tell me what you were like. What kind of teenager were you? What kind of dreams did you have? Did you see this, what you're doing now, you know, the business, you know, all of the clients and just the work you're doing and the mission you're on? Did you see all of this as what you were going to be doing at this time?
Oh my goodness, 15-year-old me. It seems like ages ago, but then it also seems like yesterday, which is like wild.
No. I know.
So 15-year-old me was, I was very ambitious. I've always been like, I want to do something. I want to be more. And, you know, mainly because I used to think I grew up with like every single circumstance against me because, you know, single mom, like all the stereotypes you can probably like round up, I feel like were Absolutely. A part of my life and my upbringing. And so, you know, and I didn't come from a family where, you know, I saw people really just like going to college and doing all these things, you know? And so it was for me, like at a very young age, I always viewed college and like having a career and all of these things as like indications of making it, so to speak. And so, you know, by the time I was 15, I mean, I knew in like elementary, like I'm going to college and like, I'm going to do all these things. And so by the time I was 15, I was very much focused on college. Like I was the one who was like, I'm ready to like, you know, take this next step in my life. I was very still like an introvert, but like I could play extrovert.
I love it.
I loved school. I've always really loved school and studying and stuff. I got into sports and athletics when I was in high school. So I was also an athlete. And just generally, I just felt like I was just trying to make it at that time. I did not see this for my life. I didn't even see this for my life. You know, like Lip Love and having multiple businesses. I didn't really see that until corporate, like the latter part of corporate, honestly. Because while I was in corporate earlier in my career, like when I started getting those promotions and stuff, I thought, oh, I'm going to ride this wave. Like I'm going all the way with this. And, you know, because I didn't come from a family where like, you know, making that kind of salary and having that sort of stability, so to speak, in a job, like I didn't come from that type of family. And so, you know, by that point, it was very much like, hey, you made it. But of course, like within me, there was the part of me that's like, but this doesn't, I don't, this isn't like, is this the purpose that, Lord, that you have for me? Like, am I supposed to be here like until
forever?
You know, forever? Like, you know, so it just, but yes, 15-year-old me, I was very ambitious. I did not see this for my life, but I did always want to do something creative. I've always been kind of like multifaceted. So I've always been interested in multiple things. As much as I love like creative things, I'm also very much a thinker and very introspective. And I love writing and like, you know, kind of being in that world too. And so I didn't know what that would look like. When I first went to college and even as a teenager, I wanted to be a journalist. And so journalism and communications were what I majored in initially.
What inspired that?
I mean, I grew up reading. Like I loved reading. I learned how to read when I was 3 years old. And I read so many books. I mean, like, I was that kid that was like, you could find me. If I was outside, I was reading a book, like, outside. Oh, so I was very much, like, just like a kind of bookworm nerd. Yeah. And then I kind of started to bloom, so to speak, a little bit later in high school. And I tried athletics and sports on a whim because my brother dared me that like I couldn't be an athlete because he was very athletic. And so I was like, okay, you know, and that's how I kind of stumbled into sports and all that. So like I just had a very growing up, like younger years, I was very just kind of to myself, very introvert, very like studious in school and like focused. I treated school like a job. Like, you know, I was very like, this is what I need to do. I need to make A's. And like, you know, without, not even really from pressure from my mom or anything. It was just very much like, I felt like that was me doing my part. And then later in teenage years was when I started to be a little bit more socially accepted, I think. And so at 15, I was still kind of balancing that. Like, you know, it was very much like, man, I used to be like really nerdy, and probably half these people that are talking to me now probably would have never talked to me back then. So it's just always like a weird like dichotomy, I feel like, going on within me. But yes, I did not predict this at all. I didn't really know. I mean, I wanted to do a lot of different things growing up. I didn't have, I would say, like a specific career path as far as like, oh, I'm so locked in on this one particular thing. But I'm glad I'm doing what I'm doing now. I never would have even planned this or predicted it. It's like a marriage of all of the things I love. So it's really cool. And I know that I'm blessed that way, because I never could have, I feel like, created this or like thought about this on my own.
Gosh, I love that. I love that. Isn't that the best, where it's just what you're doing is just the marriage, like you said, of all the things that you actually love. And I know it's a place that a lot of people want to get to. You want your reality to be, I'm not just slaving away at this job because I have to do it, because I have to make an income, because I have to pay the bills. You know, you want life-giving work. And to be in that space is such a blessing. And yeah, thank you for sharing that. So for someone who didn't see all of this, you know, as a child, you have definitely done a couple of reinventions.
Yes.
Pivots and all of that. So I read a quote from something you had posted online, and essentially you said you have reinvented yourself many times. I think the word you used was you had taken an excavator to your life many times.
Just like a huge wrecking ball. Like,
I know.
Start all over again.
So can you tell me, can you talk about one of those times? I'm curious as to, you know, one of those times when you had to, you know, make a huge change or a hard pivot. And what was the catalyst for such moments when you know you're ready for change, like you're ready to change something big in your life?
I have always been very introspective and like a reflective type of person. So it doesn't take a lot for me to, I think, just naturally, like on a daily basis, I'm assessing and reflecting and thinking about how things are going in my life. And I've always been that way. I think that's what made me like a serious kind of child, like, because I'm always like planning and plotting and thinking. And so one of the most pivotal times, I think, that I've like reinvented myself. So when I first went off to, we talked about high school me. So I was very much like, I'm, you know, ready to go to college and all this. And a part of my motivation with college initially as a teenager was like, I do not want to stay in state. I want to go away to college. And I want to have like the college experience, so to speak. Like, I want to go to a big school and, you know, have the whole experience that way. And so I applied to many colleges. I got into many colleges. I ended up going to Kansas State for the first part of my undergrad. And honestly, like, this is no shade to K-State, because I really love that school. But I did choose that school largely. It wasn't really my number one choice. They did offer me the biggest scholarship. And so, I was there on an academic scholarship, and it was a really cool experience, but it just was not the school for me. Like, I chose the school because I'm like, my mom can't afford to pay for this. So like, you know, this is who's giving me the most, and this is where I'm going to go. And so, I was at K-State for 2 years, and that second year, like, I really noticed myself starting to change, and not really in a good way. Like, I feel like a lot of my experiences academically were not what I expected them to be. My experience at the school, although I had a lot of fun and I met some really great people, I couldn't see myself there, you know, and continuing there. And so I literally, one day, just like kind of out the blue, in true form to myself, I like went online. I'm like, I'm going to transfer. So, and I like, I just made this decision. I didn't even, I didn't really think very hard about it. I just previously, like I was looking in the mirror, which we've been talking about the mirror today, but I was literally looking in the mirror and I really didn't recognize myself. And I felt like if I stay here, I'm going to become someone I don't want to be. And so I opened up my laptop and I was like, I'm going to transfer. And I don't know how I landed on the University of Houston, but I'd never been to Houston in my life. I'd never even thought about it. It was like April, you know, the semester is about to be up. And yeah. I literally just applied, ended up getting in. And I was leaving school. I was leaving K-State that day. My mom was going to drive up. This is like a couple months after I got in and all this. So mm-hmm. this is like the end of the semester. And, you know, I packed up in my apartment and I like called my mom, who's about to be on her way. And I'm like, Mom, by the way, I'm not coming back to the school. Like I'm going to a different school next semester.
You serious?
And so I literally, I transferred. Like the first time I'd been to Houston was me driving there to like go move in.
Go to school.
And I just like, I totally, that was also that summer I like went natural. So before my locks, I was like loose natural for all these years. So I went natural. I did the big chop. And completely just like went to a totally different school. And then I got there to U of H. I didn't know anybody, which wasn't for me. It wasn't abnormal at that time because like I went to K-State and I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
But I went with my new big chop and I'm like, I'm coming here. And then as soon as I got on campus, I ended up finding out that they were doing elections for the RHA, which is like, you know, the housing association on campus. Mm-hmm. They were doing elections for like their president, their vice president, all their like key roles within the organization. So mm-hmm. I ran for RHA president. I didn't know anybody. I literally like, I got to campus, I found out about it and I was like, oh, this sounds really cool. And you know, I get like room and board included. So I went, I like designed these flyers, printed out thousands of flyers and like just started campaigning. Wow. Like the second day I was on campus, I ended up getting RHA president and I did that the entire time I was at U of H. And
you got it?
Yes. Yes. It's just like,
oh my God.
Literally no one knew me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Driven Introvert podcast. If you enjoyed this conversation, please take a moment to click the follow button on your podcast app or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. As always, don't forget to take courage, trust God, and go pursue your big ideas. See you next time. The Driven Introvert podcast is produced by Sheepak.com and Remy Roy, with content, editing, and strategy expertise from Candice Zakaria and Aishat Olariwaju. Want to ask a question or share a comment on a future episode? Email us today at thedrivenintrovert@sheepak.com or click on the link in the show notes to record your question in a voicemail. Hey friend, do you know your strengths? I know you want to live a fulfilling life, right? You want to feel like your life is your own and not like you're in the wrong movie acting the wrong part. But do you know your strengths? Are you operating from your strengths at work and in your calling? Or does everything feel hard and like a chore? I know what it feels like to not know where you belong. And for me, discovering my strengths and really taking steps to deploy them effectively has been very crucial to helping me feel more fulfilled and excited about life. If this resonates with you, if you'd like to find out more about your strengths, I have a free gift for you. It's called the Uncover Your Strengths Free Guide. In this guide, you'll find tools, tests, and resources to help you find your strengths. There'll be space in there to write down your discoveries. There'll be reflection questions to help you dig deeper
and prayers to help you seek the Lord for wisdom on how to move forward. I hope you lean into this. I hope you not only download this guide, but also use it, grow, and be empowered to pursue your next steps in faith, work, and life. You can get it today at shepact.com/strengths. The link will also be in the show notes. That's shepact.com/strengths.